One of the things that I was thinking about when Sue was sharing, she was sharing about the four in the furnace and Daniel in the lion's den. And as she was talking about them, I was thinking, you know, I wonder, were they worshiping inside those places? The three were with Jesus. They had to have been worshiping.
Yep.
They weren't just sitting around chewing the fat. They were worshiping.
Right.
Daniel, I can see him. I'm a very visual person. I can see him in that lion's den worshiping.
Yep.
Even though those lions have these really big teeth and they're sitting there, he's worshiping God because he knows that when whatever happens, it's God, and God is going to get the glory.
Amen.
This teaching that he gave me, he gave it part of it to me last week, but then he gave the rest of it to me this morning. And I call it A Life Unto Worship. Didn't you just hear her speak about that?
Yep.
This is going to be out of Isaiah 58, 1 through 14. So Cecil, if you could get that. The definition of worship is extravagant love. Sue just talked about love. God is love. And for us to have extravagant love for other people, those that he places in our life, we have to learn how to make our lives worship.
Right.
Every moment of our life has to be worship.
Right.
Just like what Sue said about cleaning the toilet, doing the dishes. And I don't have that down yet. I still don't do the dishes with worship in my heart. Sometimes I do it kind of grudgingly. Or when I find things laid, you know, just kind of set down and not picked up. I don't do it as unto worship. But that's my heart's desire. And I think that through this teaching, that's what you're going to see, is that God wants it to be our heart's desire to live that. We're not going to do it perfectly all the time. This isn't about rules and regulations. It's about what is your heart's desire. Isaiah 58, 1 through 14.
Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it.
Thank you. Let's look at verse 1. How many of you have sat in worship and there's people who are jumping up and down, people who are yelling, and then there's people that are just kind of sitting? We've watched that. We've watched that happen. And when I read this verse, all last week I felt God saying, read Isaiah 58. Read Isaiah 58. So finally I got it. And I got to Isaiah 58. It's funny what happens when you listen to God and you do what he says to do. And when I read his, when I read what he tells me to read, it's like the whole thing just starts, it's like popcorn. It goes, bah, 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 and just ideas keep coming, and it's just really awesome. The first one, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. We as his people, when the Spirit moves us, we are to cry aloud. Have you seen people in here cry aloud? Yelling, Jesus, freedom, whoa, whatever God is rising up inside of you, that's what he wants you to do. And because it's a release. So he says here, spare not, don't hold back.
Amen.
If you feel it coming inside of you, let it out.
There you go.
Whatever he's asking you to do. Look at this part. Voice like a trumpet. That's the shofar. When they blow the shofars here before we begin worship, what does that do to the inner part of you? Do you feel it on your flesh? Do you feel it inside of you? Do you just kind of go, like, oh, because it's the presence of God. When those are being blown, someone, I think you told me, isn't it, that it's a frequency of our DNA or something. It touches something in our blood. In our blood. The same frequency as our blood. So if you feel like shouting, he wants it to be loud. He wants to reverberate, to bounce off. And why is that? Look at this part, second part of this verse. It says, show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sin. Whatever he calls us to do, whether it's speaking, dancing, singing, playing instruments, clicks, claps. I know there's people who don't think, who are uncomfortable with that. Whatever, we do not know what God is wanting to do when we move. Through us releasing Jesus through whatever he's calling us to do in worship, he can affect another person through breakthrough, conviction, compassion, love. That's how he touches other people.
Yep.
One of the things my husband has, he's the one who plays the violin. And ever since I've been married to him, I have told him, there is the power of God in that when you play your violin. And I believe that his violin is a key to breakthrough for people. Because it just, there's something about it that it just touches the inner part. Oh, is it Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, funny. Good, he's getting a lot of training. That's nice. There's also his shofar. The name of his shofar is Breakthrough. And I think that there's really something powerful about the fact that it's Breakthrough, and his violin brings Breakthrough for people. But he has that call on everybody here.
Yeah.
You may not play the violin, you may not play an instrument or blow a shofar, but you can dance, you can sing, you can speak out, you can play a tambourine, which I try to do that. I don't have a lot of rhythm, but I do that. And I, you know, a couple of years ago, I wouldn't have done that because I would have been very concerned about what people thought of me. And now I really don't care what people think about me. You've been waiting for that, huh?
Amen.
Yeah, Glenn and I were having a talk earlier today that they didn't really know I had a heart 2 years ago. Actually, what Glenn said is your heart was all broken, and God just kind of had to put it all back together, which was true. Which is true. But what happens when we step out in worship, whatever God's calling us, when we obey He moves, and He will reach the spirit man or woman in each of us. Verse 2, yet they seek me daily. Seeking Him daily means inquiring, consulting, practicing, studying. Do we do that? Do we seek Him daily? And do we delight to know His ways? Do we take pleasure in? Are we pleased to learn what He wants us to do that day? To know, to perceive, have discernment. The only way you're going to have discernment about your life is if you're reading God's Word. Because this is truth, and this is what's going to give you the wisdom to understand what's going on in the physical realm. As a nation that did righteousness, when I thought of that, I thought, that's unity. A nation is a big group of people. So as a nation, they were seeking unity. They were seeking the righteousness of God. They wanted to have togetherness. It wasn't about individuals going off and doing their own thing. They were coming together and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They did not depart from it. They didn't leave it behind. They didn't abandon it. How many times in our lives do we say, okay, well, yeah, well, I know that's what we're supposed to do, but I really don't want to do that, so I'm going to go do this. Even stuff, sometimes there's clear black and white about things. You know, don't murder, don't steal. But what about angry words or blaming people or any of those things? Those are the little ones that sometimes we don't maybe think are as serious, but they're very serious. God thinks all of it's serious. And they take delight in approaching God. Do we take delight when we approach God? When we're here in church or when we're in our home, are we filled with that pleasure? Are we pleased to be approaching God? That's what He wants. Look at verse 3. It says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not. So here the Israelites, they're doing all this stuff. They're doing the delights. But then what are they doing? They're coming before the Lord. They're approaching me and saying, hey, well, wait a minute. God, don't you see? Look, I'm fasting. Don't you see what I'm doing? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? Have we not been humiliated for you? Have you not? You know, Lord, can't you see what they're doing to me? What can't you see what somebody is coming against me with? Don't I read my Bible? Don't I love the poor? Don't I fast 3 days a week? Pray for so many hours? I suffer so many hardships and persecution? That was all about them. They weren't really doing it for the Lord. They were doing it for, hey, God, what am I doing? What am I going to be? You look at me. And God says, behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your laborers. That word exact here means exploit. When we're doing stuff out of our own strength, when we're trying to worship God because of what we feel we need to do instead of letting the Spirit rise up, it's not going to work. And we exploit others. We exploit believers and non-believers. When we're being so good about our Bible reading and have this whole list of stuff, the works in our strength give God a bad name. It goes against His reputation because people look at that. How many of you have heard people say, well, if that's what it means to be a Christian, I don't think I want to be a Christian. So we have to let the Spirit guide our worship every day, not just in this building, This is more about today, Sunday. It is about being in your homes, being in your workplaces, wherever you go. This is what this is about more than just this building today. He says in verse 4, behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with a fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. When I work, when I try to do the things I think are right, basically fast, when I do all of the works that I think I or handle situations the way I think they should be handled, then it causes strife, debate, which is argument, and it can strike a person with wickedness, with the spirits of anger and hate. One of the things, this has happened this last week, I had a discussion with my husband, and I don't always agree right away. I'm more the devil's advocate usually. And he'll say something, and I'll say, well, I don't agree with that. And I'll just start thinking about what I don't agree with. Well, what does that do in him? That stirs up anger and hate, and then he comes back at me, and then I go back at him with more anger and more hate. And that's when I read that verse that it causes strife, debate, and smite with the fist of wickedness. Anger and hate are wicked. They are wicked. That's what I thought of, was that argument. And I could not understand how when I think I'm right, I'm not really right. I'm really, really not. I have to let God direct that. And the thing that he brought to my realization this week is that when I am disobedient, he gave me something to do this week. He said, I said, God, how can I love this person that is in my life? And he says, I want you to do this. And I said, okay. But then when it came down to it, I didn't do it. Then what happened? My day was awful. I didn't like people. I wasn't getting along with anybody. Everybody was getting on my nerves, and I wanted them all to leave and get out of the house. There. Okay.
I didn't want to come over.
I asked God again, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to do that. I did it. What do you think happened? It was a good day. I liked the people I was with. God's spirit was just right there. I had hope. And that what came to me was disobedience means despair. Obedience means hope.
Yes.
And that's the key that he gave me this week. But look at this other part. It says, ye shall not fast as ye do this today to make your voice to be heard. How many times do we think, oh, God wants me to do this? It's not really God telling us. We think that's what he wants just for our Christian brownie points. We all know people who do that, who do what they think God wants them to do because it's going to make them look good, to be voice heard on high. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. And that's not what God wants. He doesn't care. Like Sue was saying, Dorcas, Lydia, the woman with her little mite, the woman who gave the last meal to the prophet, were they, their voice being on high, were they getting their Christian brownie points?
No,
they were not. And he doesn't want us to do that either.
Amen.
He wants us to do what he says, even though we won't be recognized for it.
Right.
Because whether we don't need recognition here because we will be recognized in heaven by God. Verse 5, God says, is it such a fast that I have chosen? Did God choose that for you, that direction? A day for a man to afflict his soul? So God's asking, is what you're doing, have I asked you to do that? Have I asked you to afflict your soul? Have I asked you to be humiliated and kind of be like a martyr? Oh, poor me. I just have to accept what happens. I can't get angry at that person because I just have to accept it because I'm a Christian. Does he want us? Is that his way? No. Does he want us to bow down his head as a bulrush, which means sad, droopy? Does he want us to be a doormat?
No.
But if we say, oh, well, I'm just a Christian and I just can't. I have to be godly. I cannot fight back. Okay, that's me. That's me saying those things. That's not God. Maybe God wants me to get in somebody's face and say, excuse me, what you're doing to me is not right, and I cannot let you do that. I cannot.
Right.
Not in an angry spirit, but in a loving spirit, letting them know that what they're doing is not right. And to spread sackcloth and ashes under him, does he want us to be, you know, grief with piety? Have this pious grief? Poor me, you know, oh yes, it's so sad. But, you know, this is what God calls. Exactly. How many times have somebody died and people say to you, oh, it's for the best. Have you experienced a death in your family? That's the last thing you really want to hear, isn't it? That, oh, it's for the best. It's what God wanted. Excuse me. You know what? As the person who just lost somebody, I really don't want to hear that right now. That's hard for me to hear. Maybe it's true. Maybe that is what's right for them. Maybe that's what God wanted for them. But right now it's really painful for me. And what God just wants, one of the things I learned, my dad died when I was 30. And that was a really hard thing for me. But what it taught me is that when I see people who have lost someone, you know what? They don't need any words from me that, oh, maybe it was for the best and, you know, God knew what he was doing. And all they need is a hug
right.
And just, I'm sorry. I am so, so sorry. Not this pious, oh, you poor thing. God says, wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? How many times do we do what we think is right and say, oh, this is what God wants us to do, and say this is acceptable to the Lord? Verse 6 says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? This is what God wants to choose. He wants to loose the bands of wickedness in our lives. He wants to undo the heavy burdens that weigh us down, and he wants to free us from the things that crush us. And then this, and that ye break every yoke. At first when I read that, I thought, oh, and he's going to break every yoke. Wait a minute, it didn't say God was going to break it. He said ye were going to. So we have a choice to participate with God to break the yokes that keep us bound. That is what God, that's his fast for us. It's not the piety. It's not the good little Christian doormat martyr thing. And I'm not talking martyr like Sue was talking. That's something completely different. I'm talking about the martyr like, oh, poor me. I'm just, you know, people just walk all over me. I'm talking about verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Why does he want to loose those bands, undo the heavy burdens, and let the oppressed go free so that we can break every yoke that keeps us down? He wants his glory to live in us because he wants us to deal thy bread to the hungry, share the bread of life with other people, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. He wants to draw people into relationship with him through us. There's so many wandering people, so many lost people, and we see them every day in the grocery store, wherever we're going. He wants his light to live through us. When you see the naked and thou cover them, when you see vulnerable people, he wants us to handle them with care, not trample on them.
Right.
If you've ever been in here during the week at the coffee bar, there's some really hurting people that come in here. How would they see the love of Jesus if Glenn and Roxanne trampled over them every time they walked in here? They wouldn't. They wouldn't see them. But what do they get? They get Jesus living through the two of them. And people see that God loves them. So they're handled with care, not trampled over. And he doesn't want us to, it says, and thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. He does not want us to hide in our own flesh, our own sin, our own garbage. He walks us through this fast because he wants to get rid of the stuff that's in us that doesn't allow him to shine out to other people. When we do all that, we stop doing what we think is right and we let the Spirit take over and let the Spirit tell us what we want to do. Verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall bring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. He wants his glory in us. How many have seen a sunrise? You've seen that sun come up over the horizon. It's warm. It's bright. There's beautiful colors. When we live our life as worship, that is what people will see in us. Thine health shall bring forth. Health could be physical. It could be spiritual, emotional. But it might not be right away. Sometimes things don't happen right away. Are we willing to wait and see what God's going to bring? Like Sue said, some people, God gives them a promise. They don't get it in 2 days, and they're like, forget this. I'm not going to follow this anymore. The waiting is what builds the character. Pardon me? Right. And some of us need more of that than others, and so we have a lot more waiting to do. Yeah. He says, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. When we are living what God wants us to do and responding how he wants us to respond, loving how he wants us to love, doing how he wants us to do, being there for people when he asks us to be there, then our righteousness will go before us. He will see that. People will see that. We don't have to sit there and tell people what a good Christian we are, because how we live our lives will prove who is truly ruling our hearts. And the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. The word here, means rear guard. He will be our protection. He will be our vindication. Yep. Something that came to me, I couldn't find this verse today, but I remember there's a verse in Scripture that talks about letting Jesus be your vindication, letting him vindicate you. And that's really, really hard to do when someone is in your face and saying stuff to you. It's hard to keep your mouth shut and not respond in kind. God has got that in my head, so I know he's going to work that verse in me, because what he does is he gives it to me up here first, and then he starts bringing situations into my life to work that down into my heart, down into my soul, and eventually into my spirit, where I own that and it's my truth. So when we have the light and we're waiting for whatever health God is wanting to bring into our lives, and our righteousness is going before us, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. Have you called out to God, and have you heard him say, here I am?
Yep.
Think about that, playing hide and seek with a young child. Think about playing hide and seek with God. He's hiding. We're trying to find him, and we're finding him by letting the Spirit live through us. And then when we are doing that, he says, here I am. Come get me. And we need to run.
That's
we need to run as fast as we can. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, if we take away from the middle of our lives the yoke, whatever's keeping us down, and we stop putting forth the finger, stop blaming other things, other people, other situations for where we are, and speaking vanity, he doesn't want us to speak vanity, being proud or being wicked, he wants us to speak truth. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, so first he says, if you stop doing this, concentrating on you, and then you start reaching out to other people, drawing out the soul of the hungry, satisfying the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. What happens at noon? How much light is there at noon? What is that joy? Jesus, others, yourself. That's what Pastor Harvey says. So when we're not looking at ourselves and thinking, oh, poor me, but, you know, you did this and, you know, you can't do this and you speak to me this way and you treat me this way and what you need to do is you need to get back with God and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All that kind of speech, which we think is really good Christian speech because we are being someone, but the truth is we're really being somebody's Holy Spirit, and that's not what God calls us to do. So he wants us to get out of ourself. And he wants us to focus on loving other people. He wants to love other people through us.
Amen.
And that is living a life of worship. And then our light, his light in us, will shine like the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. That's every moment. That's all the time. Continually. It's not every once in a while. And he shall satisfy thy soul in drought. When you're feeling dry in your life, when you're thinking, oh, I just can't get through this desert, God is going to be the one to satisfy you.
Amen.
But you got to do the first part of the verse, the chapter. You can't pick and choose.
Right.
God puts it all together for a reason. And make fat thy bones. That doesn't mean that you're going to gain weight, but it means you're going to have health to your bones. You're going to have vigor. You're going to feel exuberant. You're going to feel alive and joyful. And have you ever in your life felt that way? Felt that excitement and joy And, ooh, I can't wait to get to go do that. Yes. That's what God does inside of us as he lives in us.
Yes.
Thou shalt be like a watered garden. What happens to a garden when it's watered? It grows, it's green, it's lush, and like a spring of water. Yes. Think about a water, a brook. It's sparkling and it's fresh. Whose waters fail not. God does not fail us. The living water will not fail. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. When I read that, the first part of that verse reminded me of us as parents.
Yep.
And as we rely on God and his Spirit to live through us, we are building up the old waste. We are reclaiming the curses from our generation, the generations before us, and we are building up future generations, our children. But then I read, the repairer of the breach. We, each one of us, if we're living what God wants us to live and staying in his Spirit and following his direction, we will be able to repair the breach in lives.
Right.
And the person I thought of was Apostle Bill. How many breaches is he repairing as he walks this country for God with this cross from California to the East Coast? There are many lives he is touching. There are many breaches. You know what a breach is? It's a break. It's, I think of when, isn't it in war? They breach. The enemy comes over. Have you ever felt like the enemy just like overtook you? What your the things in your life were just overwhelming and you couldn't deal with it? God is the repairer of the breach in your life, and he will do that as you just rely on his Spirit to make your life a life of worship. The restorers of the paths to dwell. He can restore your path that you can dwell, you can live in, whatever he's calling you to do. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own way. See, it's not about what we want to do. It's not about our desires, our wants, our expectations. It's all about what God wants to do through us. Nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. There, I'll tell you, there are many times that I get into, not trouble, but Tom and I have contention because I'm relying on my own words and my own thoughts of how I think something should be handled or how I think something should be done. And I don't draw back into God and I don't go back and say, okay, Lord, what do I need to say? Do I need to just be quiet? Do I need to speak something? I want to be more like that. I don't want to speak my own words. I want to speak God's words because my words kill. God's words bring life. So when we are not doing what we want to do, when we are laying down everything, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. So delight, we will take pleasure in the Lord. And he will cause thee to ride up the high places. He will take us upon the mountaintops. He will take us into places of worship. He will give us the worship. See, our worship isn't what we do. If you might think it is what we do, but it isn't. It's the Spirit that rises up in us,
right,
that causes the worship. We just have to be willing. We have to make the choice to do what he asks us to do. And feed thee the heritage of Jacob thy father. He's going to feed us the heritage. What was the heritage of Jacob? Jesus Christ was the heritage. Think about Jacob and his line. Israel, God's chosen people. That is a mighty heritage. We can partake of that as we get rid of ourselves, die to whatever we want, and let the Spirit live through us, living our lives as worship. And this last part of it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It is truth. It will be done because God spoke it.
Amen.
The beginning of this, the world came into existence. Why? Because God spoke it.
Yeah, right.
Whatever God speaks, God will do. And this word is truth. And the only way that we're going to be able to let our lives be worship unto Him is if we let His Word live through us and we lay down our lives and do what He asks us to do. Even if we might look foolish in the eyes of men, because we really won't, because it's not about what men think of us. It's about what God thinks of us. One of the, write down this verse, these verses, Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 12. This is about, this talks about God's ways being better. His thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways. And one of the verse talks is, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not, but watereth the earth. Okay, is it a given the rain's going to come?
Yep.
Is it a given the snow's going to come? Yeah, it is. Why? Because God did that. And that's what He wants us to understand, that His thoughts are better and that His ways are better. And that if He says His thoughts are better, then it's a given. It's 100% true. If His ways are better, it's 100% true. And so many times we get out of our lives being worshiped because we're trying to do it our way. And He doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to lay down our lives. He wants us to be a martyr, like Perpetua.
Amen.
None of us are being called to go into that arena. But like Sue said, you're not being whipped, but sometimes somebody's saying things that makes it feel like you're being whipped. And when we can stand there and let that happen and let Jesus' love go towards that other person, then what do they see? They see love. You know, one of the things that I was always afraid that God was going to call me to be a martyr. I don't think He's calling me to that. But I don't know. He keeps changing me and He keeps bringing stuff into my life and doing things. So I can't say He hasn't called me to that. I don't know. But He hasn't told me yet if that's what He wants me to do. But years ago, when I first became saved, I never thought I could do that for God, ever. I thought, oh my gosh, how can you do that? How can you be, have you seen movies where people are being martyred? They're on the stake, the fire's going, and they're, the pain. And they're screaming for the pain, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't, oh, there's no way. And then I read a book, and I think it was about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who thought he could not die for the Lord. It was him or another person. I can't remember exactly, but what he did, because, and he would try, he was in prison, and he tried to, he would have a candle, and he tried to put his finger in there. Oh, it hurt. He thought, how am I going to withstand these flames? How am I going to do it? And he'd keep trying to do it, to try to see if he was going to be able to withstand the burning that was coming. And he, I'm sure, went to that pile of sticks that day, thinking he wasn't going to be able to do it, that he wasn't going to be able to stand and stand for his Lord. But he went. He didn't fight. He got to there. They tied him up. They set him on fire. And the grace kicked in. And he glorified his Lord. And do you know what a witness that is? For us to glorify God while someone is doing something horrible to us. That's when God is real to other people.
Well, we've scared you to death with martyrdom. I just want to give you one little encouragement about that in case you are called to that. When Stephen was stoned, he was looking into heaven saying, I see Jesus. One time, I was laying on the couch and I was praying and I got a really bad pain in my leg. And it's like, oh, man. And I started to get up and the Lord said, just look at me. And I focused back on Jesus and I didn't feel the pain. But every time I would stop focusing on him and think about my leg, I'd go, oh, it still hurts. And he'd say, just look at me. Every time I turned my focus back to him, I forgot the pain. So I think the grace of just seeing Jesus, there's a power in that to take your focus off anything else. That's where the grace comes.
Lord, everything that was just spoken, I want it in my life. I think I'm surrounded by people that want it in their lives. So right now, we just want to say, Lord, we want that And we invite you to work your life in us. That means our outer man, our soul, our will has to be broken so that our inner man, your Holy Spirit, your life, the precious life that Jesus brought inside of us, for it to be released through us, our outer man, our soul, our will has to be broken. Right now we want what we just heard. We're inviting you to do it in us. And just teach us how to walk into it. And teach us how to focus on you. Because there's no one like you, Jesus. Amen.